It soon became clear that Mrs. Cole was no novice when it came to gin drinking. Pouring both of them a generous measure, she drained her own glass in one gulp. Smacking her lips frankly, she smiled at Dumbledore for the first time, and he didn't hesitate to press his advantage. "I was wondering whether you could tell me anything of Tom Riddle's history. I think he was born here in the orphanage?" "That's right," said Mrs. Cole, helping herself to more gin. "I remember it clear as anything, because I just started here myself. New Year's Eve, and bitter cold, snowing, you know. Nasty night. And this girl, not much older than I was myself at the time, came staggering up the front steps. Well, she wasn't the first. We took her in, and she had the baby within the hour, and she was dead in another hour."
Mrs. Cole nodded impressively and took another generous gulp of gin.
"Did she say anything before she died?" asked Dumbledore. "Anything about the boy's father, for instance?" "Now, as it happens, she did," said Mrs. Cole,
who seemed to be rather enjoying herself now, with the gin in her hand and an eager audience for her story.
"I remember she said to me, 'I hope he looks like his papa.' And I won't lie, she was right to hope it, because she was no beauty. And then she told me he was to be named Tom for his father, and Marvolo for her father. Yes, I know, a funny name, isn't it? We wondered whether she came from a circus, and she said the boy's surname was to be Riddle. And she died soon after that, without another word. Well, we named him just as she'd said. It seemed so important to the poor girl. But no Tom, nor Marvolo, nor any kind of Riddle ever came looking for him, nor any family at all. So he stayed in the orphanage, and he's been here ever since."
Mrs. Cole helped herself almost absent-mindedly to another healthy measure of gin. Two pink spots had appeared high on her cheekbones. Then she said,
"He's a funny boy."
"Yes," said Dumbledore, "I thought he might be.
He was a funny baby, too. He hardly ever cried, you know, and then when he got a little older, he was odd."
"Odd in what way?" asked Dumbledore gently.
"Well, he..."
But Mrs. Cole pulled up short, and there was nothing blurry or vague about the inquisitorial glance she shot Dumbledore over her gin glass.
"He's definitely got a place at your school, you say?"
"Definitely," said Dumbledore.
"And nothing I say can change that?"
"Nothing,"
said Dumbledore.
"You'll be taking him away, whatever?"
"Whatever,"
repeated Dumbledore gravely. She squinted at him as though deciding whether or not to trust him. Apparently she decided she could, because she said in a sudden rush,
"He scares the other children."
"You mean he is a bully?"
asked Dumbledore.
"I think he must be,"
said Mrs. Cole, frowning slightly.
"But it's very hard to catch him at it. There have been incidents. Nasty things."
Dumbledore did not press her, though Harry could tell that he was interested. She took yet another gulp of gin, and her rosy cheeks grew rosier still.
"Billy Stubbs's rabbit. Well, Tom said he didn't do it, and I don't see how he could have done, but even so, it didn't hang itself from the rafters, did it?"
"I shouldn't think so, no,"
said Dumbledore quietly.
"But I'm jiggered if I know how he got up there to do it. All I know is he and Billy had argued the day before, and then..."
Mrs. Cole took another swig of gin, slopping a little over her chin this time.
"On the summer outing, we take them out, you know, once a year to the countryside or to the seaside. Well, Amy Benson and Dennis Bishop were never quite right afterwards. And all we ever got out of them was that they'd gone into a cave with Tom Riddle. He swore they'd just gone exploring, but something happened in there, I'm sure of it. And
Well, there have been a lot of things. Funny things.
She looked around at Dumbledore again, and though her cheeks were flushed, her gaze was steady.
I don't think many people will be sorry to see the back of him. You understand, I'm sure, that we will not be keeping him permanently, said Dumbledore. He will have to return here, at the very least, every summer.
Oh, well, that's better than a whack on the nose with a rusty poker, said Mrs. Cole, with a slight hiccup.
She got to her feet, and Harry was impressed to see that she was quite steady, even though two-thirds of the gin was now gone.
I suppose you'd like to see him. Very much, said Dumbledore, rising too.
She led him out of her office and up the stone stairs, calling out instructions and admonitions to helpers and children as she passed. The orphans, Harry saw, were all wearing the same kind of greyish tunic. They looked reasonably well cared for, but there was no denying that this was a grim place in which to grow up.
Here we are,
said Mrs. Cole, as they turned off the second landing and stopped outside the first door in a long corridor. She knocked twice and entered.
Tom, you've got a visitor. This is Mr. Dumbledore. Sorry, Dunderbore. He's come to tell you. Well, I'll let him do it.
Harry and the two Dumbledores entered the room, and Mrs. Cole closed the door on them. It was a small, bare room with nothing in it except an old wardrobe and an iron bedstead. A boy was sitting on top of the grey blankets, his legs stretched out in front of him, holding a book.